All right, it is Wednesday, the first full day of the Detroit Regional Chamber Mackinac Policy Conference 2019 edition, joined right now by U.S. Senator Gary Peters. Senator, good morning.
Paul, always good to be with you.
How did you spend your Memorial Day?
Memorial Day I spent at ceremonies. It was at the Great Lakes National Cemetery. It was in Sterling Heights, but opportunity to just say thank you to the men and women who are serving currently, but also to pay the respect to those who've given their life in service to their country.
Right around that same time, you also took a trip to the southern border. Tell us about that.
I did. Before the Memorial Day, I had an opportunity to get down to McAllen, Texas, on the border there. I'm the ranking member on Homeland Security that oversees border issues. I was down there with the chairman of the committee. We did it in a bipartisan way. Met with CBP officers, met with Border Patrol, the Coast Guard, which is also actively involved in patrolling that area, and as well as some of the charitable groups, religious groups that are working with the migrants that are coming across. So it was a pretty comprehensive opportunity to ask questions and see what's happening.
Well, what did you learn there?
Well, it's incredibly challenging. I mean, we have large numbers of folks coming across the border, larger than we've seen in the recent past, and they're different. In the past, they were usually Mexican males that were coming, young Mexican males coming across. They'd be apprehended and taken back across the border, and then they'd probably come back again, and it would be a cycle. Now you have families coming with young children coming in from the Central American countries of Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and they have to obviously be treated a lot differently.
How? And what's the problem and what's the solution right now with immigration?
Well, first off, we want to make sure these families are kept together when they come across the border as long as they can, particularly when you have tender age children, very young children that we saw. Although I also met children who had made the journey across the border by themselves. Two young girls, sisters, one 11, one 9 years old. I just can't imagine what they went through. Folks who had taken well over a month to get to the border, and you can see in their eyes a combination of fear and exhaustion not really knowing what's going to happen for them. Yeah. But they are being processed. If they're claiming asylum, they will make the asylum claim, and then they will be given a court date at some point in the future. Right now, though, those court dates are years away. Yeah. It could be a couple years.
So what needs to be done to change immigration law, to help reform immigration law in the U.S.?
You know, I don't know if it's a law change right now. Right now, I think it's more speeding up the due process. You know, our asylum laws, for example, are similar to other Western countries. Every Western country allows someone who's been persecuted and fears violence to have a safe haven. Now you have to go through a process to be able to show that is indeed the case. And that means you go before immigration judges. We're just short an awful lot of immigration judges now because of the number of people are coming across. But it's really it's a combination of two things. You want to make sure that you're doing the things at the border to keep the border secure. There's nothing more important than border security. It's something I focus on day in and day out. But we also have to be aware of the conditions in Central America right now that are pushing people north. You know, you're seeing crop failures. You're seeing violence. You and I, if we were in that situation, we'd probably grab our family and head north, too. That's a natural human behavior to protect your family and survive.
Do we need to build a wall on the southern border? And that, because that has been the big issue that the president and Republicans have been talking about. They want a wall. Do we need to move away from that conversation more toward what you were talking about?
It's a combination of things. You know, border security is first and foremost, as I mentioned, but it's there are a variety of tools that you need. Even the folks at Homeland Security, Border Patrol, were saying they need some additional physical barriers, but they don't need physical barriers across the entire 2,000-mile border. Right now, about 700 miles of the 2,000 have barriers. There are portions where it'd be helpful. But as I mentioned earlier, these are folks, they're not scaling the wall and being apprehended. They're just coming across the border, including ports of entry, and claiming asylum. So a wall isn't going to stop folks in that category, which right now are overwhelming the system. But there are places where you could put those physical barriers. And understand the people who are trying to evade Border Patrol are some bad folks who are smuggling drugs, usually the drug smugglers. And unfortunately, the United States has an insatiable demand for drugs, especially with the opioid crisis that we have right now. So you're seeing that come across. And, yeah. And so that's a different form of border protection than what you're dealing with migrants who are coming north because they fear violence in their home country. There's two different types of activities that have to be conducted simultaneously.
It's not a simple problem. There are no simple solutions.
No, not at all. You know, not at all. But we definitely need to have more resources. I support more resources going down there for immigration judges to deal with that issue, but also sensors, the kinds of technology you need to be able to track people who are getting over the wall. And as the Border Patrol folks will tell you, the wall doesn't, especially someone who wants to get across to bring drugs, it doesn't stop them. It only slows them down. And the question is, do you slow them down long enough so we can apprehend them? And some areas it makes sense, especially in more urban areas. But in the open desert, between drones and sensors, you can find these individuals and track them down.
Talk with U.S. Senator Gary Peters. One of the big topics of conversation up here, I think, this week is going to be infrastructure. That is the state of Michigan trying to find more money for road improvements. But there's been some talk, at least up till a week ago, about federal infrastructure programs. The president a week ago expressed an unwillingness to work on that. Where is infrastructure going to go at the federal level at this point?
Well, we need to have the president engage in it, because it's not going to get through the Senate and the Republican majority in the Senate without the president engaged. He initially was supportive of a package up to $2 trillion of infrastructure investments across the country. You mentioned he backtracked on that, and he backtracked at a point also when he said he was going to come up with how you pay for it. I mean, everybody agrees we need infrastructure. I think no one will say that that's not a necessity. The question is, how do you pay for it? And that's where the debate starts. And it's important for the president to lean in to get his party's support for an infrastructure project. And without that, I think it's very difficult.
What would an infrastructure program look like to you if you had the opportunity to move it forward?
Well, as far as what it has to include, it has to be pretty broad-based. I mean, we're looking at certainly roads and bridges, and we're seeing the governor here pushing her infrastructure program, which is critically important. And I may say the states need to lean in as well, because the federal money matches state money. It's not there by itself. So if the states don't have money to match, you don't get federal money. So you really have to do it in a coordinated basis. But I think it's important to look beyond just roads and bridges, to also look at underground infrastructure. We have a crisis when it comes to our sewers and water systems in all communities. They're all aging infrastructure. You see that in Port Huron and other places. But also access to broadband internet, to make sure everybody has access to high-speed broadband, which is critical for economic development, for the delivery of services like telehealth, and difficult in many areas, particularly rural areas. Up here in northern Michigan, it's particularly difficult to get high-speed internet, and yet it's critical for economic development.
The reason the president said that he doesn't want to work on infrastructure or anything with Democrats is because of all these investigations going on, certainly the specter of impeachment looming as well. Do you favor impeachment proceedings against the president?
Right now, I think the House should continue to do investigations. I think the Mueller report certainly brought a lot of questions to light, and as you read that, you realize there are many questions, and Congress needs to do its job, which is oversight. Our framers were very clear that that's a congressional duty to oversee the executive, and it's part of the checks and balances built into our Constitution. So we'll see how those move forward. But my focus is dealing with the issues we just started talking about. How do we deal with the southern border? How do we deal with infrastructure? You know, how do we deal with an issue that I know impacts the Port Huron area right now as the third busiest border crossing? Is that we're seeing CBP officers now being transferred down to the southern border from places across the northern border. We'll see what kind of impact that has at the Port Huron Bridge. But those are things that we got to deal with right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We certainly have to not forget about the northern border, which is the Blue Water Bridge, and possibly ferry service being restored between Marine City and Sombra, Ontario. It sounds like there's an investment group that wants to get that going again. They're going to need border protection as well, aren't they?
That's right, and so that's why we need more CBP officers. I've actually introduced legislation, bipartisan legislation. I'm working with my Republican colleague, John Cornyn, from Texas. So obviously, when we talk about CBP officers, the three busiest border crossings, two of them are in Michigan, Detroit, Windsor, and Sarnia, Port Huron, and Laredo, Texas is number one. So, you know, we're very conscious of the fact that based on the modeling right now for CBP officers, they should have 4,000 additional officers across the country that they don't have. So we're authorizing the hiring of at least 600 a year till we get to a number that works. But you can see if you already have that kind of shortage and you've got a big surge happening on the southern border, something's got to give, and what happens then if we take CBP officers away from Port Huron, for example, then wait times increase. And when you're talking about the auto industry and the need to bring traffic across and cargo across, can have a significant economic ripple effect in Michigan as well.
Senator, we appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping by today. Have a good conference up here at Mackinac.
Great to be with you, Paul, as always.
Thank you.